seated. Our final case on the docket is Christopher Dwayne Nelson versus Commonwealth. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you need any rebuttal time?
Could I please reserve 5 minutes?
Certainly.
May it please the court, Dorian Dalton on behalf of Christopher Nelson. Our argument is basically that there's not sufficient evidence to convict Nelson of failure to appear where the Commonwealth failed to prove that Nelson had notice of the court date. In this case, the trial court did not take judicial notice of the entire record. The trial court explicitly took judicial notice of only two specific things. First, that Nelson did not appear for trial on April 15, 2014. And secondly, that there's a note in the court's file indicating that Nelson had contacted the court to say that he would be late to court. The court did not take judicial notice that Nelson was in court on February 12, 2014 and was advised of the April 15, 2014 court date. The court did not take judicial notice that Nelson was represented by counsel or whether that attorney had communicated that court date to Nelson or had notice of that court date. The court did not take judicial notice of any bail paperwork, capias executions, and the court did not take judicial notice that Nelson was granted personal cognizance bond.
You do agree that the contents of the note in the court's file, given that the court taking judicial notice of it was not objected to, that the contents of the note, 1257, running late on April 15th, all of that is in evidence. The question is whether that's sufficient to carry the burden.
Certainly. The clerk's note was not objected to, and what is in evidence as to the failure to appear notice issue is that Nelson was not present on April 15, 2014, and the contents of the note.
Right. I am at a loss to come up with a scenario where 3 minutes before a scheduled court appearance, a contact is made saying I'm running late doesn't indicate that you know that you're supposed to be somewhere. If at 8:57 this morning this wife had come to me and said, Dorian Dalton has called, she says she's running late, she'll be there, I would conclude that you knew you needed to be here. Why was it error for the trial court to conclude the fact that he contacted the court and said I'm running late on the day of the trial isn't evidence that he knew he was supposed to be there?
Well, I think that this case is a little bit unusual in that we're not usually dealing with clerk's notes as the only evidence. We're usually dealing with court's orders or other types of paperwork.
But that goes to whether it should have been judicially noticed, not whether, but once it was, it's in.
Certainly. It's in evidence, and our issue on appeal is not the admissibility because it was not objected to. Our position is that the clerk's note was not sufficient to prove notice because basically it's not competent evidence, and we're suggesting this court should give very little weight, that it was not entitled to very...
Given that it was admitted, why is it not competent?
Because, our argument is not, again, to the admissibility, it's to the weight of the evidence. For example, the note itself, the date's wrong on it. It says April 15, 2015, even though that date had not occurred yet. It's not a court order. It's not even intended to be a court document. And our position is that it does not prove that the court ever gave Nelson notice of his court date. It does not prove by what method Nelson had notice of his court date.
But doesn't it prove that he had notice?
Our position is that it does not prove he had timely notice.
Okay. Why would he have called if he did not know he was supposed to be in court? What is your reasonable hypothesis?
I can't really answer that, Your Honor. I would just submit that, and it's a little complicated to argue this because it's very clear from the record that Nelson did have notice. However, the Commonwealth did not admit to evidence, nor did the trial court take judicial notice of how he had notice of the time, date, and place of his court date. And thus our position is the Commonwealth did not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that his failure to appear was willful.
But all they have to do to meet that evidentiary burden is demonstrate that he had notice and did not appear. That's what our cases say, correct?
Yes, I believe so. We would submit that we would be in a different position had the court merely taken notice of the order from the February court date or a warrant or indictment or something of that effect indicating the actual court date. But in this case, where our argument is that the note itself is not sufficient evidence. And I'll save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Benjamin Katz, appearing on behalf of the Commonwealth. And I would state from the outset that the request for judicial notice made by the prosecution was not specific, in accordance with the jurisprudence, to avail itself of the previous order, the February 12, 2014 order, that was in the record that demonstrated the defendant was present and was given the notice of the date and time of the proceeding to follow.
So you concede that while it's in the appendix, it can't serve as the basis?
That's correct, Your Honor. But I would submit that it's not the only evidence, as Your Honor's questions have elucidated. And clearly, the self-reporting of the defendant to the court, calling in mere minutes before the start of the proceeding, was powerful evidence that the fact finder was entitled to rely upon. And I would submit that to the extent the appeal fails to afford that evidence the appropriate deference on appeal, the argument is flawed. The trial court was presented evidence that mere minutes before the proceeding, the defendant stated that he knew he was running late. So clearly there's evidence of a knowledge of the time that the proceeding was to start, or a reasonable fact finder could conclude such from that evidence. There was no hypothesis of innocence articulated at the proceeding that suggested that the notice he had was not timely given. In fact, the evidence was the court waited until 3 p.m., 2 hours, and the defendant never appeared. And so I think I understood counsel today to suggest that that evidence itself does not demonstrate timely notice, and I would argue that viewing the evidence of the proceeding in the light most favorable to the Commonwealth, as this court must, that's simply not sustainable in light of the record. The court waited 2 hours. The defendant's own statements indicated he knew he was running late, demonstrating an awareness of the start time. And most importantly, as I pointed out on brief, to affirm this conviction does not require this court to infer from the defendant's phone call that he received notice at an earlier date, and then based on that inference, infer the failure to appear was willful. We don't have a scenario of an inference upon an inference. The fact of the call itself is evidence of notice. We don't need to infer he received notice at an earlier time. And from that evidence, the fact of the calling, the court can infer a willful failure to appear by failing to show up after 3 o'clock or before 3 o'clock. So I would submit we don't have an inference piled upon an inference here. We have a fact that the fact finder could rely on and draw one inference, which was permissible. I'm happy to address any additional questions the court may have.
Straightforward case. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would ask you to affirm.
Happy to answer any questions the court has otherwise then. Thank you.
Thank you both for your arguments. We stand adjourned. We'll come down and greet counsel.